All right, so here we are on part six, even though we're only discussing the fourth piece, but we had to give the intro. So we're in Ephesians talking about spiritual warfare. And today we're talking about the shield of faith, but let's go through and read verses 10 to 18 together to get the full context of what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And in verse 10, he begins by saying, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Verse 13, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, and be alert always, and keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Amen. So,
Amen.
chapter six here gives us this really powerful and beautiful image of spiritual warfare. Okay. And in verse 10, he begins by saying, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And what he wants to remind us of again is that our strength comes from our abiding in Christ. Our strength doesn't come from necessarily how much knowledge we have, how many people we know. Our strength comes from our abiding in Christ. Just like a strong, fruitful tree or branch is strong as it abides and receives the nourishment, we're relying on Him. We're not relying on our own abilities. And as we're finding our strength in Him, He says, put on the full armor of God. We're putting on the full armor of God in verse 11. And the first thing that He mentions to us there is the belt of truth. And because we know that the truth is what holds everything together. If I have the truth, this is the foundation that holds everything together, just like a belt will hold everything together, because we know the enemy's primary method is deception. He wants to bring deception into our lives because he is scheming, meaning he is studying your weak areas. He wants to know, he already knows, and he wants to attack us in those weak areas. Okay, so that's the belt of truth. Then there's the breastplate of righteousness. Which we said before is that there is God's righteousness, which is the free gift from God, and then there's my walk of conduct in righteousness. And we talked about that at length 2 weeks ago. The third thing that he mentions is the preparation of the gospel of peace. And can I just say that this was revelation for me, even in studying it last week and in teaching it last week, it became like it's like information that you've heard before, but the lights came on. And the lights came on for me in that when we talk about the preparation of the gospel of peace, is that the enemy wants to rob us of our peace. This is one of his main attacks. He wants to come in and steal our peace away from our hearts and our lives. Because if he can do that, then he's pretty much taken everything. If I live in chaos, if I live in distress, if I live in despair, then everything else kind of goes away. But just like the soldier has the cleat-like footing, that is established firm, you stand. And having done all, you are standing. So that was really, really an encouragement to me that we don't let the enemy take our peace away from us. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." And so we have the Lord's peace himself. All right. And we said that peace is not a feeling, but our peace is a position. Because having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And as a result of the peace that I have with God, he now grants me the peace of God, which means I can live in that constant, continual peace. Okay. The fourth thing that we're going to talk about today is the shield of faith. Okay. That's the fourth mention. Again, in verse 16, he says, "Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." And so the imagery here of a shield and a flaming arrow is so vivid. It's so graphic of the spiritual battle that you and I face, that you and I have to deal with. Okay, it shows us that the enemy is always at work. All right, and he's shooting these fiery darts in our direction. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to bring discouragement to us. He's trying to shake our faith. He's trying to turn our attention and our focus away from God. And so the shield of faith then protects us and helps keep us steady in our walk with the Lord. But what exactly is the shield of faith and how do we take it up? We're going to attempt to break it down into practical steps here and looking at the shield of faith and how it works, why it's important, and how we can use it to stand against the enemy's attacks. I said we're going to attempt. I didn't say we're going to succeed. We're going to try. All right. The first is the priority of faith, the priority of faith. So here, Paul emphasizes the shield of faith by saying, above all, take the shield of faith. This makes it a top priority as far as the spiritual armor is concerned. It's not an optional thing. It's not a secondary thing. It is something that is essential. Meaning what? Meaning that faith is what connects us to God and allows us to trust in his promises. Okay? Even when the circumstances of life are telling us the exact opposite. All right? And we can see how important faith is. In example, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. And so faith then is the foundation of our relationship with God. It's how we received God's gift of salvation. We know that by faith, but it's also how we walk with him, how we continue our journey with him. So I'm saved by faith, but I continue my walk with the Lord by faith. So it's the trust that we place in God's character. It's the trust that we place in his word and in his promises that allows you and me to face the challenges of life with confidence. Just like a soldier wouldn't go into battle without their shield, we can't navigate our spiritual battle without faith. So without it, listen, we're left exposed and we're vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. So then what is the purpose of the shield of faith? Paul says the shield of faith is meant to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. These arrows are what the enemy uses to attack us with. Back in the old days, what they would do is they would take these long, pointy arrows and they would dip them in tar or something that's flammable, light them on fire, and then shoot them up into the air, and they would come landing, crashing down on the other army. And so that's what the enemy's aiming to do. He is throwing all kinds of fear and temptation and discouragement and doubt our way, trying to tear us down, trying to cause us to fall apart. All right. Some of these tactics that he uses, things like doubt, all right? That's one of his favorite tactics to make us question the goodness of God and the promises of God. And this is the same strategy he used in the garden back in Genesis chapter 3 when he approached Eve and he says, did God really say? Did God say? What is he doing? He's planting a seed of doubt in her mind, hoping to cause her to question the goodness of God. If God is so good, then why isn't he allowing you to dot dot dot? If God is so good, then why don't you have dot dot dot? If God is so good, then why are you struggling with dot dot dot? And you can fill in those blanks, right? That's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to plant those seeds of doubt in our mind about the nature and the character and the goodness of God. Because when you and I trust in the nature and the character and the goodness of God, we approach him with an open heart, with a willing heart, with a yielded heart. But when I don't trust him, I remain distant and hesitant, no matter what. And in Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And there are many, many verses that talk about the goodness of the Lord, some of which you should pull up and begin to read and reflect on. The second thing is deception. Deception. Satan is the master of deception. He lies to us about who we are. He lies to us about who God is. And he lies to us about the truth. He tells us that we're unworthy at times. He tells us that we're not forgivable at times. He tells us that we're not loved at times. And he's hoping that we'll believe some of these lies so that we can begin to pull away from God. That we can pull away from God. Do you know who one person is that actually took that bait and fully swallowed it? This was the older son. If you remember the prodigal son story, it talks about the prodigal son, the younger went away. Well, the older son was actually there in the house. And he didn't have the most accurate, the most complete, the most truthful information about his own father. He's there in the house, but he's acting as if he is a slave. He's still trying to earn things from the father, not fully knowing the goodness of the Lord, right? And sometimes we can be like that. We can be in the house. We can be in the house of fellowship, in the house of believers. We can go actively to church and come to studies and things like that. But I'm not fully convinced of the goodness of God. There's deception there. The enemy has successfully planted a seed in my mind that God isn't all that good. Because if he was good, then why is all of this happening to us? Which brings us to the third part of discouragement. And one thing kind of leads to the next discouragement. Life can be tough, right? And when things are challenging, it's easy to feel discouraged. And all of us do from time to time, by the way. But what Satan wants to do is he wants us to feel hopeless and helpless and defeated, believing that there's no point in trusting God because our circumstances are never going to improve. Have you heard the enemy whisper that to you? It's never going to change. It's always going to be like this. You're always going to struggle with this. You're always going to grapple with that. You're always going to have this level of anxiety and whatever the case is. He's really good at doing that. Listen, we are more than conquerors. The Bible says that we are not just conquerors, but we are more than conquerors because God gave us of his spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, it says, who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? So these are just a few of the flaming arrows that the enemy, the devil, wants to send our way and is constantly throwing in our path. But the shield of faith then is designed to extinguish them. All right, and when the doubts come, faith responds by trusting in God's promises. And when deception tries to take hold of our lives, faith reminds us of the truth that's found in the Word of God. When discouragement creeps in, faith gives us the hope and keeps us moving forward. So what do we mean exactly when we talk about faith? Faith, simply put, is trust and confidence in God and in His Word. It's believing in His promises even when we can't see the outcome. Faith allows us to stand firm when the storms of life come our way. So in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, having been baptized by John the Baptist, he is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. After the voice comes from heaven saying, "You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And the enemy comes to him and says to him, there in the wilderness, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread," because Jesus was fasting and he was hungry. And he's causing him to question, to doubt. He's trying to plant seeds of doubt in his mind about the goodness of the Father towards him, because he's saying, if God is so good, why are you hungry? Oh, and by the way, you have power, so you can fix that. You don't have to wait for the Father in heaven to change your scenario. You can manipulate and change your own scenario. And you know what? There are certain abilities that we have as people, as limited as we are, but we do have certain abilities where we can at times try and manipulate our own situations, do we not? I think we do. And so he's trying to get him to doubt this. And Jesus is responding to him, saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is an example of him using the shield of faith. He's trusting in the word of God and in the heart of the Father, and he's refusing the lies of the enemy. And so faith doesn't just end at believing in God, it's believing God. Is there a difference? I'm not just believing in God. I'm believing God himself. I'm believing that his word is true, and I'm believing that his character is good. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. God doesn't lie, and he doesn't have any reason to lie. We as people, sometimes we want to make God like us. And sometimes if we're put into a corner tight enough, we might say something that is a little bit untrue or a half-truth. Or a bold, flat-out lie. Why? Because there's fear, there's worry, there's stress, there's whatever the case may be, because we're limited and we're frail. So sometimes we think that God can sometimes be like that. God is not like that. It says in him, there is no variation or shadow of turning. There is no darkness in God whatsoever. All right, so we need to believe in his character. All right, when we take up the shield of faith, we are actively choosing to trust him, even when the circumstances tell us otherwise. And so then faith is something that is also active. It is not passive. What do you mean? It's more than just simply agreeing with the promises of God. Faith is actually doing what God calls us to do, even when we don't fully understand how it's all going to work out. James 2 and 17 reminds us that faith by itself is dead if it's not accompanied by works. Faith without works is dead. All right. And there's some examples here that I'd like to share with you tonight. The first would be Noah. One of my favorite stories from the Old Testament is the story of Noah. That's the story I got saved hearing about the ark of Noah. And it says that Noah built an ark. Specifically in Hebrews, it mentions that Noah built an ark in faith, trusting that God's warning of the flood was true, even though it had never rained before. It never rained before. God said, "Judgment is coming. I trust you, Lord." Okay, now I want you to do something with that trust. If your faith isn't moving in a certain direction, you're just agreeing with it, but it's an incomplete thing. You're not really utilizing the fullness of the shield of faith, which we'll talk about more here in a moment. Abraham, when he heard the voice of God, he journeyed from his land, believing God's promises that he would make him a father of many nations, even though he had no idea where he was going. He heard and he began to walk in obedience. So faith without works again is dead. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt in faith, believing that God would deliver them with the mighty hand out of Pharaoh's control. Faith has to have something that accompanies, it has to have an element of work that tags along. So Rahab, another person, all of these, by the way, are mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Rahab, what did she do? She hid the spies. When she believed that there is a God in Israel who dried up the waters for the Israelites to cross through, and she says, "We've heard of you. We've heard of you." What did she do? She hid the spies. She took something practical. One of the stories that I find intriguing in the New Testament, I believe it's in Luke chapter 5, is the story of Peter, or Simon Peter, when the Lord is introducing himself to him. And Peter had been out fishing all night, and they were tired and they caught nothing. And Jesus appears on the shore and he says to him, "I want you to launch out into the deep and cast your net." And he says to him, "Lord, we've been fishing all night. We've toiled all night long and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless," watch this, "nevertheless, at your word, we will launch." And what happened when they launched at the word of God? Not only did they take in such an abundance of fish, go back and read it in Luke 5. They took such an abundance of fish, they began to call their neighboring boats, their friends, the ones that are around them, saying, "Hey, we have so much fish here, our boat's gonna sink. Like, we've never had this before. And just hours before, I was out there, I couldn't catch a single fish. But because this Lord of creation here is speaking to me and I obeyed him, now there's just this overabundance." Listen, God honors when we walk in obedience, but there has to be an element of obedience to our faith. Otherwise, it's just a simple assent I'm aligning to. I'm agreeing with what God said, but if I'm not doing something about it, then it's kind of incomplete. Okay? I need to step out in obedience, even if the path is not clear, which, by the way, oftentimes it isn't, because God gives us one step at a time. So just like these heroes here in the faith, we're called to put our trust in God and act on it. All right. Now, what is the power then? What is the power of the shield? In verse 16, he says that you're able to extinguish the flaming arrows of all the arrows. Some of the arrows? No. Every single last one of those arrows coming your way, you are able to extinguish with the shield of faith. 1 John 5 and 4 says, "For everyone born of God comes to the world." This is the vi I'm sorry, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." How do we overcome? We overcome by our faith. Faith gives us the power to overcome these trials and these temptations and these struggles that we face as we go through life. And it's not our strength or our it's not our strength or our abilities that enable us to stand firm. It's our faith in God. When we take up the shield of faith, we're standing on the promises of God. And this gives us then the confidence that no matter what happens, God is in control. He's gonna see us through. All right. For example, when we're facing fear, and fear is one of the most common ways that the enemy really tries to attack us, he throws those fiery darts at us. Whether it's fear of the future or fear of failure or fear of the unknown, the enemy loves to use fear because fear paralyzes us. It causes you to just stand still. But faith overcomes fear. And when I think of that phrase that fear paralyzes you, a lot of times when there's a lion that's out there on the prowl in the wilderness hunting down prey, a lot of times the prey that they're trying to pursue is faster than the lion. If they were just in a normal foot race from point A to point B, a lot of times they're just faster. But you know what happens as the lion is chasing them? When he lets out his roar, suddenly the legs of the animal that's being chased begins to shake and wobble out of fear. Then they begin to stumble only because they've just been afraid. So they become an easy prey. Listen, the enemy loves to roar in your life. He loves to roar in our life to cause us to live in fear, where fear paralyzes us. But listen, faith overcomes fear. Can I say that again? Faith overcomes fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need to remind ourselves of these promises. There's also another beautiful verse in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, that says, "Be strong and courageous." Why would the Lord say that to us? Because we need to hear it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you, he will never forsake you. Do you know what that means? When I'm on my way to work in the morning, I'm going to go see a client or on my way to take care of a business deal or whatever the case may be, wherever I may be, he says, wherever you go, the Lord goes with you. The Lord goes with you. I'm not riding alone. I'm not going at this alone. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. I need to get a hold of that. If I got a hold of that in my life and genuinely believed it, I think my stance in life, my attitude in life would be a little bit different. Then we can take those steps and face those giants. Just in saying that, I'm just reminded of the young boy. And I know we've heard the story so many times, but when you really dive into the scriptures and you picture being there in the story of how the entire army's afraid, and here's a little boy, barely a teenager, right? Good looking, red hair, doesn't have any skills at all as far as, fighting man to man or anything like that. And he gets this holy indignation, this holy righteousness inside of him. And he's saying, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? The entire army's afraid." He says, "I'll fight him. I'll fight him. I'll take him out." Why? Because God is with me. He told me that he's with me. We can face any giants. And so these verses here just remind us that faith is not just an intellectual kind of belief, it's a trust in God's presence and his faithfulness that leads us to boldness and to courage. Moses, who delivered these words to Israel here, he demonstrated an act of faith by leading God's people out of slavery despite the overwhelming obstacles that he faced. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being 80 years old? Just picture with me. You're 80 years old and you're facing one of the most powerful leaders in the world at the time. Imagine that. You're 80 years old, man. You're just like ready to retire, ready to call in, throw in the towel. You're just like, "Man, where's my vacation home?" Right? And you're standing before the leader of the world at the time, and you're saying to him, "Let the 2 or 3 million people who are slaves in your country, let them go." What are we talking about? What are we talking about? But he was able to overcome those obstacles. Why? Because God had said something, he chose to believe it, and he followed through. And obviously, we know what happened. So when dealing with doubt, we all have moments when we doubt, right? But we need to trust that God is good and that he has a plan. Maybe when things aren't going the way that we expected and we start to question if God really cares, in these moments, we need to take steps of faith and say, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. So faith reminds us that God is faithful. Even when I don't understand him or understand his ways, he's always faithful. And when you're feeling discouraged, discouragement can be a heavy burden, by the way. Whether it's because of difficult circumstances or unmet expectations or personal struggles, it's easy to feel like giving up. But the shield of faith then gives us a strength to keep going. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Faith in God's strength helps us press on even when we feel weak. It's also important to remember that the shield of faith is not just for your individual use. It's meant to be used in the form of community, because the way that the Roman soldiers had this shield, and by the way, the shield was about 4.5 feet tall, about 2 feet wide, and they can actually, if they scrunch down a little bit, it would protect them fully. But it was also unique in this sense. When they held it up, it had interlockings on the, because it was made out of wood covered with leather. They would dip it in water to stop the fire. But then on the side, it was made of iron, and one would lock next to the other. And so it would form this, like, it would look like a turtle. It was actually called that. It was called a tortoise. And it was how they would huddle up into a group, this band, these guys. And as the fiery flames are coming from up top, they would hold the shield. It would be interlocked. It would be an impenetrable wall. They would move forward like this, and they would protect themselves from the fiery flames that were coming from up top this way also. What does that say to us? It's that we're called to stand together in faith. We're called to stand together in faith. It means I need my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I need the community. I need the people of God, the men and women of God, the children of God, the disciples of Jesus, to stand together and to connect and to pray together and to seek the face of God together and the heart of God together and to study together. I'm glad we're doing this. I'm glad we've been doing this. And to lift up our petitions to him. And when somebody is going through something, we need to go through it together. You know, it's good that we come and we hear the study, and we've heard plenty of studies, and we're going to hear plenty more here in a couple of weeks, I'm hoping. Right, guys? Thumbs up. Good. Good. But it's more than just being informed. We need to be connected. We need to be connected, because this is where strength happens. All right. 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist the devil, stand firm in your faith, because we know that the family of believers, this is the NIV, throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We're not alone in this battle. Sometimes we think we're all alone. I'm the only one struggling with whatever it is that I'm struggling with. I'm the only one dealing with this insecurity. I'm the only one dealing with this doubt. I'm the only one dealing with this fear. I'm the only one dealing with this temptation. I'm the only one dealing with this struggle. You're not the only one. We all deal with it in various ways on different levels, but we all go through similar things. 1 Peter 5:9. Okay. But when we stand firm in faith along other believers, listen, we create this extraordinary defense against the enemy. When our faith is weak, we need to lean on the faith of others. All right. And together we can encourage and press on to keep trusting God. So how do we strengthen our faith? How do we strengthen our faith? Romans 10 and 17 says faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. I like how the NIV phrases this one. When you hear the word about Christ, the more we dive into the word of God, the more that we settle into the word of God and meditate on the word of God, the stronger our faith becomes, which means we need to do more reading, spending time reading his word. So important, because the Bible is filled with promises, but even more important than the promises, I'm not reading it just for the promises where God says, I'll provide for you, I'll heal you, I'll take care of you, I'll. That's not the only reason why I'm reading it. I'm reading it because I want to know who he is. Because I don't just need the logos word, which is just the written word. What do I need? I need a rhema word. What is that? A rhema word is a specific word in season for this particular moment in my life. Let me give you an example. Any verse, chapter in scripture would be considered a logos. It's the word of God. A rhema is a specific word of God. Probably talk about this in a week or two also. The specific word of God is what the same word that Mary used when she was approached by the angel, and the angel was speaking to her about the coming Messiah. When she said to the angel, "Let it be to me according to your word," the word for word there, the word for word in that phrase was the word rhema. Let it be to me according to the revealed will of God for my life in this moment. Sometimes you'll read something in the scriptures and it'll just pop out to you. Like I was sharing with you like last week, I'm reading this whole thing about the gospel of peace, and it just like the enemy wants my peace. You know what? He's not getting my peace this week. He's had it for so long. But this past week has been different. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
He's not going to take my peace, and he's not going to take it that easily anymore. I'm realizing now that this chaos is an attack of the enemy. It's not just something that I just have to learn to live with, as I had been living with for quite some time. No. God wants me to live in peace. Where you think about, we have a couple of little ones in the house now, an older one, and just this baby. And what we do with them is we say, shh. Why? Not just because you don't want to hear them cry and get a headache. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I want them to be calm. I want them to be rested. I want them to feel the warmth and the love and the security and to know that it's, everything is going to be okay. If they need food, there's plenty of food. If they need to be changed, there's plenty of diapers. If they need to play, here's grandma. Like whatever it is that they need, there's plenty of that.
Sound it's so weird coming from you.
Right?
I just feel 80 all of a
All
sudden.
right, that's okay. So we tell them it's gonna be okay. And I think God wants to bring us to the place, that was my revelation from last week. God wants to bring us to a place to say, come close, it's gonna be okay. You don't have to worry about this any further. So that's scripture reading. And then of course, spending time in prayer. And prayer, listen, prayer doesn't always have to be a long process. It doesn't have to be. It can be just a few minutes where you lift up your heart to God. You know, when you're having a conversation, let's say you're talking to your spouse or your friend or member of the family, and something comes up, you know, make it a habit to just stop right where you are and lift that issue up in prayer. Because if you're anything like me, minutes later, I've forgotten. So we need to pray. We need to be in prayer to strengthen our faith. All right. And bring our fears and our doubts and our concerns to God and trust in his faithfulness. Listen, prayer is the act of faith because it acknowledges that we cannot do it on our own. I need God's help. And then, of course, surround yourself with other believers, as we mentioned a moment ago. There's a really, really beautiful passage in Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where Jesus speaks to one of the seven churches, and actually one of two churches that he didn't rebuke. This one here is Smyrna, and he encourages them in the middle of their suffering. And he says to them, "Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer, but be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the victor's crown." Don't be afraid. You're going to suffer, but don't be afraid. You're going to go through a hard time, but don't be afraid. Why? Because number one, I'm with you, and I'm going to give you the victor's crown at the end. Such a powerful reminder that faith is not just about trusting God when things are going well. It's about trusting him in the face of trials and persecution and hard times. So the shield of faith is what allows us to keep standing, even when the enemy is firing his arrows in our direction. And you know what? He finds seasons where it is most opportune for him to do so. He feels like we are the most vulnerable, and he just keeps throwing those arrows in our direction. Listen, it protects us from doubt, protects us from deception, it protects us from discouragement. And it gives us the strength to resist the enemy and to stand firm in our walk with God. And listen, as we continue to trust in God's promises, to put our faith in action, we will see victory in our lives. So whatever God's been telling you to do, you need to begin to do it. Whatever God has been instructing you to do, you need to do it. If he's been telling you to be faithful in a certain area, then be faithful in that area. Or make that relationship right, then make that relationship right. Or take a step of faith here and begin this ministry. Whatever God is leading you to do, take that step and just begin to walk in obedience. I want to close with the story of the centurion from Luke chapter 7, because I thought it would be fitting, being that he's a Roman soldier. And we're talking about the Roman armor here. Because in Romans 7, it talks to us about this man who is an authority, and he's commanding soldiers that are under him, but yet he had this heart that had this incredible faith in Jesus. Because when his servant was about to die, he sent word to Jesus asking for healing. And the incredible part was that he said, I'm not worthy that you would come into my house. You don't need to come to my house. All I need you to do is just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. He believed the authority that Jesus had was so powerful that one spoken word is enough. And Jesus was amazed at his faith and said, I tell you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. And when the centurion obviously returned home, they found that the servant had been healed. The story shows, it just shows that the shield of faith isn't just about believing for big miracles. Listen, it's trusting the character and the nature of God. It's knowing that he and his word are enough. His faith protected him from doubt and from fear and from worry. He didn't need physical proof of Jesus physically being there. His faith in Jesus and his authority was simply enough. All right. So just like the centurion, we can stand firm knowing that when God speaks, things change. And the shield of faith gives us that confidence that God will always come through, even when I cannot see how it's going to come through. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Okay, so with that said, does anyone have any thoughts, anything that kind of came to mind as you were listening, or any questions that you may have, either for Pastor Mike or Assam? Yeah.
I got a... You made me think of a story here, or a picture when you were saying the lion roaring and paralyzing the. So you gave me the National Geographic picture there, and I pictured, and I was, when you were talking about the shield of faith and community, and you know, right away I start. That's, I don't know, surprise, surprise. I like when you hear stories of teamwork, but you know, you think of Nehemiah and building the wall side by side, but I also pictured, as you were saying, just as the lion roars and it wants to isolate and paralyze that one animal defenseless, the real cool videos, and this is what I thought of, is the ones where they fight back. You got the other ones that kind of circle around it, and they start pushing back at the lion or the tiger, whatever it is that's trying to get them. The mom comes or whatever, and they're just pushing back, and they circle around, they protect it. And this is what it's made me picture of, the shield of faith and community. That we're here for one another. If one's weaker or if one's struggling in an area and we know they're in trouble, I know I'm getting ahead, but in 18 it says being watchful and praying for everybody, right? We're there for everybody. We're there for one another. And some may be stronger in areas than others. And that's where we all come in to help each other out. But ultimately, the goal of all that, when they push back and they, is that the one defenseless animal that's in trouble eventually regroups, stands up, and joins the herd again, and is back running freely with them. So
amazing.
Let me picture that. So thank you for that.
Amazing. Thank you for that clip. I love watching those on TV, by the way. All right. Anyone else have any thoughts? Anything you'd like to add?
The picture that you drew with all the soldiers standing together and joining their shields after, next to each other to protect each other. A lot of times we become afraid to share and to ask for covering from people around us. And it's not our fault that the enemy keeps throwing arrows. Can you imagine if one of those soldiers says, "Oh no, I don't need covering. I'm strong." Well, just stand there by yourself for a couple of seconds. You'll find out how weak you are, So it's okay that we're weak. It's okay that the enemy keeps throwing arrows at us. It's okay that we need covering. There is nothing wrong with that. For some reason, we give this in Christianity. We have this impression that because I'm a believer or I'm a Christian, I am strong. No, we need the covering. We are strong only in Jesus. We are strong only in faith. We are strong only when we have the shield. But without it, we're absolutely nothing. I mean, less than nothing. And it's not shame to ask for someone to cover you or to cover me, because the enemy is hitting from every direction.
Every direction is right.
Yep.
I think that what I was going to mention kind of goes with what Assam was saying, that not only that we need the people, but what made me think it's about the centurion that was asking for healing for someone else. Sometimes that's what we need. We need to wear in the weakest, or we are, and whatever we're feeling, whether it's fear, depression, or sickness, it's so beautiful to know that someone else will advocate. And I know that God, Jesus, is advocating for us, with our Father. We know that, but also we need one each other. And I think it goes for what Assam was saying, to get help. And if you're the person that is stronger, why not advocate or pray for the other person? And also, I think it's beautiful that someone else would ask God or do it for you. And we see that the results are exactly the same, because by the time they went home, he was healed. And he didn't need it to ask. Someone else did it for him. It's beautiful to know that, to have someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why do you think we hesitate on asking other people to pray with us and for us? If we can be honest, I mean, we're only sharing this with the entire world on YouTube, so you don't have to be afraid. So let's just open up and put our laundry out there. Why do we become so timid in sharing? And obviously, we're not going to share everything with everybody. There's no wisdom in that. But there should be a level of openness to certain people that we feel we're close enough to, that we trust, that we can let into the smallest of circles and begin. Why do you think we hesitate sometimes? I'm genuinely asking this question. I don't really have an answer, but I'm genuinely asking.
I would say because they're afraid to be judged. And I'm being honest.
That is perfectly put, by the way. Perfectly said. That's what I was going to say as well.
Yeah, I'm so amazed as I'm, studying for this series and studying in Romans in chapter 14, where he talks about not judging and not criticizing and not condemning, and it's like it all fits together, and it's all coming together. It's like God, I think he's communicating something. So, yeah. Good. Right. Anyone else? Any other thoughts? Any questions?
I think the complete opposite actually is what happens when we become vulnerable. Because I think when we are holding things back, it has a hold on us,
Yeah.
like we're held captive by it.
True.
But when I'm willing to be open and I share, whatever hold or possession it has over me is broken.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of freedom that I get to experience just by simply being vulnerable and sharing whatever it might be. There's freedom to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's good.
My
Whatever.
mind
Go
to
ahead.
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, my mind went to be part of a like a team, soccer team, basketball team. When you're together and work as a team, that's a good feeling because you know the weakness of one player or the other player, and then you work hard to take over what he's not doing it, and you go and cover him. So as a teamwork, I'm relating that type of stuff with our meetings, that we are in this team, you know, helping each other, knowing that we are in the winning team. At the end, we're going to be the winner. So in this road, we're just going to a place and helping in order to succeed. Don't know, it comes up. That's my talking.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah, each of us brings something unique to the dynamic of the relationship. Because we all have certain strengths and certain weaknesses. We just need to come to a place, I think, where there's a level of trust, right? Where you just trust that whatever you say is going to be kept. Trust that whatever you say is not going to be repeated to anyone else. As I often tell Delia, whatever somebody shares with me always stays with me, you know, if it's about them, because she has the right to know about me everything, but she doesn't have the right to know about other people everything because they didn't share it with her. And that's just how we've done life together for a long time. So, yeah. Amen. Amen. Good. Good. Anything else you want to add?
Can you say a prayer for my son-in-law Eric? Since his father passed, he's been going through some trials.
Let me just explain. Eric is Tony's son-in-law. So Eric is married to Anna. Anna's Tony's daughter. And so Eric's dad passed away a few days ago. So we're going to lift up Eric and the family in prayer before we close tonight.
There's something.
Yeah. Anyone else that needs prayer?
Pray for us, pray for me. Things have been very, very stressful at work. Need a little bit of help. So pray for God to show up as he's always done.
And we also need prayer. We need prayer for wisdom, so that we can move according to God's heart and God's direction, specifically in the context of the church. Because there's lots of thoughts and ideas and things like that, but we don't want anything to be ever of the flesh. We want to move according to God's heart. So we are praying for God's wisdom in that area. All right. Anyone else or anything else before we still have a few minutes. Jeopardy song in the background. Right. Do you want to close this in prayer? Pray for Eric and yeah. All right. Thank you,
We just thank you that you're an amazing God, an amazing Father. There is such a place of rest that we can find in you. And your word tells us just that. All you who are weary and weighed down, come to me, and I will give you rest. So there is a place of exchange with you, God. We can come before you and lay it all down at your feet, and knowing that you are absolutely trustworthy, that you are forever faithful and forever true. And we thank you that you are by our side, a God who does not slumber and does not sleep, that you number the hairs of our head and you know us better than we know ourselves. And we thank you that you are closer than the very breath that we take. We thank you that we can call upon you and your presence is here, and your word says that you incline your ears and you hear our prayers. So we honor you and we bless you tonight, and we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for the power of the spoken word, Lord, where we can stand firm on it this all throughout our life. And we thank you, Father, because your word says if two or three agree together in my name, touching anything, that it will be done unto them. So we come together as one body, as a team, like we've discussed tonight, Lord. When we lift up Tony, we lift up Eric, we lift up the family, Father. I thank you that you are their the source of their strength, that you are wisdom, that you are their shield, that you are their comfort, that you are the one who brings a great understanding and an ability to overcome trials and the most difficult of times. God, you carry us in the palm of your hand, and you bring us to a place of safety under the shadow of your wings. So I pray that for Eric tonight, Father. I pray that through these circumstances that his eyes would be shifted back to his creator. I pray that his heart becomes moldable, becomes with a yearning desire to know you as his Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for Anna, Tony, and Raymond. God, cover them and saturate them in your goodness, in your glory, in your power, in your love. Father, we declare freedom, we declare wholeness, we declare just a mighty move of God in and through their lives, God, as you help them to overcome whatever they might stand against, whatever obstacles that comes against them. Thank you for hearing, God. Thank you for being by their side. And I lift up Alsan before you. And I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, Alsan and Dina, God, your protection over them, your power upon them. In Jesus' name, I pray wisdom and grace. I pray, God, that you do the impossible, that your hand would maneuver through every circumstance, every situation. As they sit back, they might declare, look what the Lord has done. That there is, God, I'm reminded of the verse that says, you fight every battle. We stay quiet, we remain seated, and we look at you and we see your mighty work move. So, Father, I pray your name be glorified in and through their life. I pray, God, as they yield and as they have been surrendering and put you, as they have been putting you first in their life, God, would you allow a mighty move of God and show them your glory in every circumstance and situation. And God, we lift up Arise before you. Thank you that you have called us for such a time as this. Thank you that you are bringing resurrection power to this church, Lord. We are believing that you are a mighty God who longs to do mighty things in and through broken lives. So as we offer up to you our five loaves and our two fish, we thank you because your promises is that you receive what we give. But you don't just keep it there, God. You bless it, you break it, and you cause it to multiply. So thank you for the multiplication, and thank you for the things that you are about to do as we yield ourselves to you. Would you guide our every step? Would you give us wisdom and grace, God? And above it all, let your name be glorified. Jesus, we need you. We long for you. We want you. We love you sincerely. And we thank you because you are present in every circumstance and situation. We declare freedom and glory in every person here, God. Meet your people at their point of need. Touch them. Bless them with your presence, Father. And speak to their hearts as you cause there to be a stirring and a passionate love for you to grow even more every day as we look upon you as our Savior and Lord and best friend. Thank you that you hear us, and thank you for your presence in this place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy a wonderful evening. See you next time.
Yes.
Next time.